Amazon, the great not-for-profit retailer, at least for now.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Amazon, the retailer, not the river, reports its quarterly results later today. I say results, not profits, because Amazon is not a company that generates them yet. And the online retailer has missed expectations in three of the last four quarters. So why does Amazon get so much love from investors? WPLN's Blake Farmer reports.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos takes the long view, as he frequently tells interviewers.
You can't really do the right thing for customers if you're short-term oriented.
That's meant plowing profits back into the business, betting on ideas that may lose money for years. Just this month, the company began selling wine in a few states and even commissioned pilot episodes for its video streaming service. This is from a company that started out selling books, the paper kind. The hope from investors is that Amazon will flip a switch and just focus on what's really making money. Tech analyst Horace DeDieu of Asimco says it may not be that easy.
If I may use an analogy, you know, you've built a racing car engine. You know, you're out there using it in a car race, and you can't turn that engine into a tractor engine overnight.
Starting new businesses may really be what Amazon's good at, DeDieu says, not fine-tuning them. But even this skeptical analyst admits it's hard to argue with the market, which still loves Amazon. I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
How much money does a top-notch stockbroker get to jump ship from one fancy wealth management firm to another? Well, if you're one of those brokers' clients, you may be on the verge of finding out. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the lowdown on some new disclosure rules that should shake up the stockbroking profession a bit. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, David. And can we make this quick? I've got a call into my broker.
Right. And soon you won't have to ask him how much of a bonus he got to move to the new place, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because soon he or she will have to tell me. And by the way, we're talking about superstar brokers here who are way above my pay grade. But seriously, the deal here is that the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority has proposed requiring stockbrokers to disclose to their clients what are called signing bonuses. Now, this is big cash payouts, loans that brokerages offer the hottest financial advisors to jump ship and to bring their richest clients along with them. So we're talking firms like Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley. And, you know, these bonuses can hit a couple million dollars.
Why these new proposed rules? What's the problem actually with the bonuses?
Well, you know, the numbers don't necessarily look good from a PR standpoint, but regulators worry that these cash incentives might encourage excessive or risky trading to boost brokers' numbers and make them look better. The new disclosure rules still need to be approved by the SEC. Top brokers may be trying to move around before them. Some of them consider this to be an invasion of their privacy.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you very much.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Al Jazeera America is coming to Time Warner Cable. That'll make the upstart news channel available to millions of viewers in parts of the two top media markets, LA and New York. The technology known as fracking or hydraulic fracturing has environmentalists deeply concerned with groundwater pollution. Then there's the effect on global temperatures of burning the resulting fossil fuel. But is it possible that America's new energy boom could bring factory jobs back from overseas? Chris Farrell, Marketplace's economics commentator, has been considering what some see as a new manufacturing boom in this country. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So it's not just a few points of light here. You think there's a trend in the making?
I think there's definitely a trend in the making. I mean, you're right. There are these headlines about Caterpillar and General Electric, Ford, moving more of their production here into the U.S. But it's also, I think, fewer U.S. manufacturers going overseas, and they're deciding to stay put.
Now, it's interesting why they would do so. I remember spending time with the CEO of a factory that makes industrial-sized pizza ovens. And he almost exported a bunch of jobs, but really cared about his local community, cared about local jobs. So he rethought it, brought in technology, and hired local people. That's one way that businesses come to this way of thinking.
Well, it is, because we have an educated workforce. Wages are going up in China. There are concerns about these extended supply chains. But here's the thing, David. I think something new is going on. It's a sticker shock. The price of natural gas has gone down. It's the fracking boom. And an unexpected side effect of the fracking boom is a manufacturing renaissance.
That's interesting. So you're arguing that a resurgence in manufacturing is almost like an energy play.
The Boston Consulting Group, they've done a bunch of research in this area, and they're arguing that if you take the U.S. cost advantage in labor and energy, that the U.S. could end up capturing $70 billion, $115 billion in annual exports from major manufacturing nations that are our competitors. And what is underpinning it is cheap energy and stable energy supplies in a highly uncertain global economy.
I mean, Chris, my assumption here, right, is when manufacturing resurges, that creates jobs, obviously, right?
Right. Well, it creates jobs, but I don't think this is a job creation play. I think it's a wealth creation play. So these are going to be, you know, a small number of jobs, require some form of post-secondary education. But the thing about manufacturing, it adds to a lot of service sector jobs. So I think this fracking boom leading to a manufacturing renaissance, that's something to celebrate.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace's economics maven. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And I ask you, is there anything more sensuous with its blue veins and pungent perfume than ripe Stilton? The English cheese can come from Leicestershire, Derbyshire, and Nottinghamshire, but according to the BBC, Stilton cannot come from Stilton. A cheese company in the town of Stilton has been turned down in its bid to call its blue cheese Stilton. The town of Stilton is in Cambridgeshire, which is not, under EU rules, official Stilton territory. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.